This is Classical IPR, a service of Interlochen Center for the Arts.
Welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. Matthew Cochran is the instructor of guitar at Interlochen Arts Academy, and he'll be playing a recital at Kirkbride Hall in Traverse City on September 27th, part of the Artist from Interlochen at Kirkbride series. And Matthew Cochran joins us today in Studio A. Hi, Matt. Glad to have you back.
Hi, Amanda. Great to be here.
So the first piece you've brought us today was originally written for the lute, but you're going to play it on the guitar.
Right.
So what kind of adjustments do you need to make for that?
I think there's two approaches we can take when we look at transcriptions of music that's somewhat related to the guitar. One is to make it sound as close to the original as possible, so try and make the guitar sound like a lute. And the other, I suppose, and I don't know that these two things are mutually exclusive, but just try to make the guitar sound as good as possible. I'm trying to kind of take a middle-of-the-road approach. I really love David Kellner's lute writing. It makes the lute sound full, and the music sort of sounds natural on the lute. But I think one of the things that I really like about playing David Kellner's music on guitar is that it also fits really well under the fingers on a guitar. So I use a lot of open strings whenever I can. I try to let things sort of ring out as much as possible. But they're two pretty different instruments, and the guitar has in this case a little bit more sustain than the lute does. So I might take advantage of that in the slow sections a bit.
Now, is there a difference in the number of strings and the tuning? Can you kind of walk us through the basics of how the guitar and the lute differ?
Well, I can walk you through the basics of the guitar, but
as
far as German lute tablature from the 18th century, I'm far from an expert. In this case, what fits really well is to change the tuning of the sixth string of the guitar to a whole step lower than what we normally have, and everything else just pretty much feels like what normal chords that you'd play on the guitar more or less feel like.
And when you say a transcription, you mean someone has gone through the tablature,
right?
Meaning the, well, how do we call it, a sort of a symbolic notation, and transcribed it into modern notation?
Yeah, exactly right. So lute tablature from really the beginning of the instrument till the sort of waning days of the instrument was written in a system of notation that tells you where to put your fingers, what string to put those fingers on, and what fret to put those fingers on. And in the case of this type of tablature, which is pretty sophisticated, you also have some rhythmic information. So there's a lot of information that modern, like standard notation has that you could read on a piano or whatever, but the specificity of the sound is really cool, and I think it's great. I mean, pop guitar players use that now. I mean, that's a really common way of communicating. Like, okay, well, I don't know, Keith Richards puts his finger here and he plays this note, we notate that also with tablature, although it's a little bit different looking.
All right, well, we are going to hear music of David Kellner next. This is the Fantasy in D, originally for lute, but played on the modern guitar by our guest, Matthew Cochran, in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you.
The Fantasy in D by David Kellner. Music originally for the lute, played on the modern guitar here in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio by our guest, Matthew Cochran, instructor of guitar at Interlochen Arts Academy. And Matt, you'll be playing a recital at Kirkbride Hall this week. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a sense of what's going to be on that concert?
Yeah, it's going to be, well, the first half is basically an exercise in now for something completely different. I really wanted to try and call together a group of pieces that represent, I think, some things that audiences who are familiar with guitar music would really know, and a handful of things that I think are great, but maybe don't get a lot of sunlight.
Now, you've played in Kirkbride before with other musicians, but this is your first solo performance there. What's it like when you go into a space to play in that space for the first time?
You mean like with the guitar?
Yeah. Like how do you get to know the space?
Oh yeah. Well, the guitar is so like the room that you play in is so important, you know, to the guitar. I mean, our sound just kind of goes away right away after we've played a note, you know? And so, a big hall with lots of like sort of boomy reverb. We like that a lot.
Can you give us an example of a space like that here in Northern Michigan?
Well, I think my favorite hall to play in around here is actually the Dendrinos Chapel on the Interlochen campus, and it is exactly what I'm describing. It's kind of boomy. The space is actually pretty good for guitar. There's lots of wood, and so there's lots of sort of sound bouncing off walls, and we like that a lot.
Now, we don't have to name any space by name here, but are there what makes a space not as inviting?
Yeah, I have to be really careful here.
Huh? You're like Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. It's just terrible.
I think carpet is rough for guitar players, or anything that'll sort of suck up sound. So we just need like a lot of bounce so that you are creating an impression of a note ringing longer than it actually, you know, does ring.
Now, you're going to play music of Anton Diabelli next. And I think a lot of people know him as the person that wrote a tune that Beethoven then wrote a set of variations on.
Yeah.
But Diabelli wrote a lot of music for the guitar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So educate us here.
Oh, Diabelli's such an interesting character. I mean, my sort of introduction to Diabelli was definitely the Beethoven variations. They're this amazing set of piano variations. But Diabelli was a publisher. He put on lots of music, like live musical events. He was an impresario. He was a teacher. He played guitar. He played keyboard instruments. I think he played violin, but I'm not totally sure about that. He was a really early champion of Franz Schubert and published a whole mess of Schubert's pieces, including some original works for guitar and voice, which is kind of cool. And I've always thought he was really kind of given short shrift. I mean, especially in the guitar music that he wrote, he really contributed a lot of fantastic works, including three large-scale sonatas for solo guitar. And so I'm playing one of those sonatas on my recital.
And you've brought us the first movement from that one today.
Yep.
All right, well, here is Matthew Cochran in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio performing the first movement of a sonata by Anton Diabelli. Thank you. the first movement of a guitar sonata by Anton Diabelli, performed in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio by Matthew Cochran. And you can hear Matthew Cochran perform Thursday evening at 7:30 at Kirkbride Hall in Traverse City. More information is at classicalipr.org. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio.
Always a pleasure.
This edition of Studio A was engineered by Brock Moorman. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for listening.
And don't listen to Measure 72.
Now that's all they're going to listen for.